Welcome back to EAA Radio 96.5 FM and 1210 AM. We are here with another fantastic guest. I'm excited about this one, Amy. We've got Connie Palacios, and she was working on the B-29 Superfortress at Boeing in Wichita in 1943. 88 years old now, and she's still working on those B-29s. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, when I graduated from Newton High School, I was 18, and I was working in a laundry pressing uniforms, naval uniforms, because we had a naval base in Hutchinson, Kansas. Well, when I heard that they needed women to go to help with the war effort, I decided that's what I wanted to do, because I did have my brother and my uncle in the service, and so I wanted to do something for the war effort. So I went to Boeing and I applied, and they sent me to a school, and I was there 2 weeks because they said they needed riveters bad. So I told them, well, I'll try riveting. After I was there for 2 weeks, it said I could go to the plant. So I went to the plant.
So you're an original Rosie the Riveter.
Yes, I am, because I'm the only one right now that I know that is surviving there in Wichita. We might have many more everywhere else, but in Wichita, I'm the only one. Because in 2000, when I read in the Eagle they were going to restore dock, I went to volunteer, and I'm the only one that showed up there of the originals. We have a lot of nice volunteers doing work, but they're a lot younger.
Now, Doc is the name of the B-29 that you're restoring now.
Yeah, Doc. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the one we're restoring. Uh-huh.
So what's different about restoring Doc as opposed to when you worked on the line in 1943 and 1944?
Oh, well, there's a lot of difference, because now they have so much more modern stuff. Like, the engines are not the same. They'll have different engines. And then the guns, the riveting guns, are different too. When I rivet, they were a little larger.
Only a little larger, huh?
Yeah. And then I have to let you know, too, I almost forgot this, that when you rivet, you need a bucker.
And what is that? Or who is she?
Well, my bucker was a black girl named Jane Warden, and she was a very good bucker. And when I went to the first day at the plant, I didn't rivet, because they said that they had only one, no bucker for me. But the second day, they said they had one, but that she was black and nobody wanted to work with her, because in those days there was a lot of prejudice. But I told them, no, I don't mind working with her, because I'm a minority too. So I went, she came to work with me, and I tell you, she was the best bucker. And the bucker is the one that goes inside the plane. I was outside on the skin, and we have to put the rivets on the holes, you know. And I would shoot the gun, she would buck it in the back.
So she was your support team.
Yes, and she was so good, because there was little places that they were so hard to get in. And she would draw in a piece of paper the size of a bar that she thought they would go in there. And there was a gentleman there that would make bars, which when we needed some, and he would make them exactly like she, and then she could get that in the difficult places. And she was so good at bucking that afterwards everybody wanted her, but she never left me. We stayed as a team, and her and I worked until we were laid off.
Now, you weren't laid off until the war was basically over, right?
Yes, we got laid off in August of 1945.
And then what happened?
Well, then, of course, well, I got married, because my fiancé had been in the service, and then he went to Emporia Teachers College, so I went over there. That's where my three sons were born, in Emporia, because he was going under the GI Bill of Rights. Then after that, I went to beauty school in 1958, and I worked as a hairdresser 47 years.
That's different than riveting airplanes.
Oh, yeah, it is a lot different.
And now you're done with the riveting part of Doc, is that right?
So, yes,
so what are you doing now?
Now I am helping with, whatever they do, we have inventory to do. And I also work on blueprints, because we had a lot of blueprints that were in trailers, you know, and we had to put them according to where they belong to the, you know, like the wind, that's it. And so I work with those blueprints, and now we have them all in a cabin so that when they want to go see something, they can just go there and take the blueprints out. Mm-hmm. And I am also working on going on when we have shows to sell merchandise so we can get money so we can get that plane in the air.
And are you going to get to fly when it goes?
I hope so. It's supposed to be done by November of this year, but they have to go through paperwork and I don't know what else. But we are hoping that we could bring it here next year. So I hope I'm alive then so I can be here.
You don't look like you're going anywhere fast. Yeah.
Well, I've been blessed with good health that I can get around. Yeah, because I'll soon be 90.
That's a good testament right there.
Do you have any advice for young women who are interested in doing aircraft assembly? I know there's still a Boeing plant in Wichita. I know there's still a lot of work out there for people. What would you tell girls or young women today? Do you think it's a different world?
Well, I would just tell them to if they go there and work, to be strong and keep on, because when I went, you know, the few men that were working, they didn't like for us women to do the work. But I think they're better now. Because now that when I went to restore it, these volunteers are so nice. I mean, they help you, you know, carry the ladders or anything. But those other ones wouldn't do it at first. So I would just tell them to be, you know, do what they're doing.
I think they know better by now because you set the examples for us. Yeah. That's why.
And they have better equipment now, too.
Now, I understand you guys need a little bit more. You're still fundraising on this project,
yes,
on the
dog
project. So yeah. It's a nonprofit?
Yes.
So if anybody out there wants to get involved, they're still looking for some fundraising on
this.
Yes,
You can always use that.
And then, go ahead, please.
The website is a good place for people to go to if they want to learn more about the project?
Yes, because we have a website and an email, you know.
Ah, terrific.
Yeah.
That's b-29doc.com. b-29doc.com is a great place to go if you're interested in helping them get this B-29 flying again. Will you be going out to, do you have a couple of fundraisers planned for this year?
Yes. We have Loretta Sharp. She's the one that kind of organizes our when we go fundraising, you know. Like there in Wichita, sometimes Jabara, they have a show and they let us go there and sell our merchandise. And the Aviation Museum was real good, too, to help us. When they have something, we can go there and sell our merchandise.
They're backing the project.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, where did you guys find Doc?
Oh, Tony Mussolini, he's from Cleveland, Ohio, and he was here. And he's the one that brought it out of the desert.
It was in the Mojave, is that right?
It was in the Mojave for 42 years.
That's a long time to sit.
Yes, and he's got of course, I don't remember everything, but he went through a lot to get that plane, to buy that plane.
And when was that you guys, that they salvaged it?
Well, it was like a, I think it was in 2000 when they brought in to, because I remember when I went, they brought it in the railroad in those railroad cars. And it was a mess, I tell you. It was dirty. I never thought we would ever see a plane like we see it now, because it had been over there in the desert, you know, and it was really... But little by little, we got it all done.
So this isn't a new project. You guys have been doing this for a little while.
And it's a... Well, I was really amazed when I saw it come in from the desert, and then the way we start restoring it. You know, it's really nice to see an airplane that almost looks like it's going to fly again than all those pieces that came in the railroad.
I bet that brings back some memories for you, too.
Oh, yes, it does.
I imagine that's fantastic.
It's got to be tremendously rewarding.
I
can imagine emotionally when you first saw it, it almost must have been a little... after seeing them brand new and sparkling, and then to see it, you know, all dusty and pieces, and that had to be hard.
If folks want to check this out, the website www.b-29doc.com, and they've got history on here. They got some pictures. And some other information about all of these wonderful volunteers and participants, including our very own Rosie the Riveter that we have here in the studio today. So we have been speaking with Connie Palacios. I want to make sure I say your name right. Palacios.
That's
Did I get
right.
it right? Okay. It's not just a Smith. So thank you so much for being here with us today. It's been fantastic to have you.
Okay. It's been wonderful. And thank you very much for having me here.
It's been our pleasure. You are listening to Attitude Adjustment here on EAA Radio, 96.5 FM at 1210 AM.